This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Welcome to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and I'm so happy to be back with all of you. I know it's been a few weeks, but I've had a really tough month. At the end of last month, I lost my beloved, amazing, beautiful, and literally my appendage, Doxy, my little Nathan, who I only adopted 10 months ago. I knew when I adopted him, and they said he was anywhere from 12 to 14 years old. He was hearing impaired, sight impaired. He had a multitude of health issues. I knew that I may not have the many years I was hoping to have, but 10 months, come on, it just went by in a minute. And what that little dog added to my life cannot be put into words. He taught me so much about life and love and struggle. And despite all of his issues, he would wake up every day just wanting to live and love. And losing him was really a tough blow. We went through a lot of medical crises with him over the last few months, but he always came through. And I'll never forget towards the end when I really thought that that was going to be the day, and I was talking to the vet, preparing to have her come to the home because I would only want to do that in our home, in his bed, surrounded by all his pet brothers and sisters and myself. And I was talking to her about it and saying how I really thought this was going to be the time. And all of a sudden, even though he was deaf, he got up, he walked over, he started drinking water, he nuzzled up next to me as if he was to say, not today, Mom. And I was so happy thinking this rebound would give me days, weeks, months. Sadly, it was just a few days. And I miss him every day. Best Friends Animal Society sent me these incredible wind chimes with his name at the end. So every time the wind blows, the chimes make the most beautiful sounds. And I'm reminded that Nathan is all around me. I just love that dog so much. And my message to you all is that please don't look at the age when you go in to adopt a pet. I know the time may be limited, but I've had other experiences where I adopted older pets and I had years. But I can tell you, when you save an animal in the twilight of their lives, they are so grateful. They know that you took them in when nobody else would, and they thrive. And those days, those weeks, those months that you give them, you can't put into words what that means to them and what it ultimately means to us and how it changes and enhances our lives so much. So please consider adopting an older pet. Best gift you can ever give them and yourself. And then right after Nathan, I lost my beautiful Bling, my horse that I had had for 17 years. I got her when she was only 2.5 years old, and she also had a number of issues due to accidents. And every time pulled through, she was the most cuddly, loving, beautiful horse. She would float across the ground. Watching her was poetry in motion. And sadly, it was her time. It was just so traumatic for me because having her in my life for all of these years and waking up every morning and seeing her out in the pasture and walking by her stall, and then now not to have her there. The void is really so painful, and it doesn't ever go away. I mean, I know people say, yes, of course it gets better, but it never leaves you. I guess the best way of putting it, you never get over it. You only get used to it. But again, the joy and the gift that they gave me, I was so lucky and blessed to have Nathan and Bling in my life. And today we continue to talk about our animals and the impact that they have on our lives. And we have such wonderful guests coming up, starting with an incredible lady, Victoria Arlen. Of course, you know her as an ESPN host and Paralympic gold medalist. And Victoria just wrote a book called The View is Worth It, and it's being released on May 5th. But we have Victoria here today to talk all about this incredible journey and the struggles and anxiety she has dealt with in her life. And she chronicles it all. And it is truly unbelievable what this woman has gone through and has come out on the other side. And it's so encouraging for people that might be dealing with these issues. So when we come back, we'll hear from Victoria Arlen. Please stay tuned on Rappaport to the Rescue.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport. My guest today is truly one of the most inspirational people you will ever meet. Victoria Arlen was not only a familiar face on ESPN, one of the company's youngest talents, she's also an Olympic gold medalist, taking home the gold in 2011 for Team USA as a swimmer in the Paralympics. She also got raves for her marvelous moves on Dancing with the Stars, coming in fifth place. Now, all of those incredible achievements are so impressive, but knowing what Victoria has been through in her life really makes those accomplishments true miracles. Considering that when Victoria was only 11 years old, she was diagnosed with two very rare neurological disorders that left her in a vegetative state. Not only did she overcome these life-altering diagnoses, but she also ended up suffering from depression, anxiety, and PTSD from being what she calls the successful survivor of her story. Well, Victoria has written such a heartfelt, compelling book called The View is Worth It, coming out May 5th. But we are thrilled to have her here today. Victoria, it is mind-boggling what you have experienced in your young life. To read about your experiences, you would assume it was a woman in her 70s or 80s. You're 31 years old.
Absolutely. I mean, look, sometimes I feel like I'm 87. I have to remind myself of my age to give myself grace just with everything that's gone on. And I think, you know, losing the time I lost as a kid, it put me in this path of almost making up for lost time, but forgetting to enjoy it along the way for a while too. So it's been an interesting evolution and one that, you know, feels like many lifetimes, but I don't take for granted another year that I'm given, and especially the last couple of years when I've dealt with a lot of different challenges and health scares that I think for me, it's a blessing. It's wild to say the least.
Well, this book chronicles your journey, which, as I mentioned, for someone to experience just one of those conditions would literally sideline someone for the rest of their life. You had two when you were 11 years old. You were in a vegetative state. You overcame that situation. You went on to get an Olympic gold medal. You were on Dancing with the Stars. It's one thing to suffer and experience such trauma, but then to go on and experience such success and joy. But then there was the other side of that coin.
It was something, you know, I think I had to write my obituary for those 4 years that I was locked in. And so when I survived, it wasn't part of the plan. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. And so, and no one had ever had survived those as bad as it was. So we were kind of in no man's land as far as where, you know, in to the credit of my parents, you know, as much as doctors were like, well, we don't know the extent of the damage or how, you know, how her outlook looks. And my parents were like, that just means there's no ceiling of what she's capable of doing. And so having that support and having my family that just wouldn't let me give up on myself allowed me to go and do incredible things. But I think in the midst of doing incredible things, I didn't really address the big thing that had happened as a kid. And so I wasn't giving myself time to talk about, I'm a very anxious person and I'm struggling with depression and I'm really living in this world where I've had to be this character for people. But at the same time, we didn't go back to the little girl that went through a very traumatic ordeal. And so thankfully, you know, tackling that after enough years struggling silently allowed me to finally live the life that I fought so hard to get back, and also hopefully help other people be able to realize, hey, like you don't fight this alone, and it's okay to not be okay. But then it also is okay to be okay when you come out on the other side and navigate all that too. And I think I used a lot of my success as an anesthetic to what had actually happened, and then realized, oh, you got to feel it to heal it. And that's an okay thing too.
That is the whole reason, the impetus for this book is what you went through. And the stories are so personal and actually painful to read. How has it been for you? Has it been a cathartic experience? I know ultimately you're going to help countless people telling your journey.
It has been cathartic. When I wrote my first book, Locked In, that was really the story that started it all. And I remember one of my mentors saying, when you write it, you can let it go. It starts the process of letting it go. And I think writing this book, there was such a purpose behind it. Like the other book, I kind of had to write to set the story straight. This one I got to write to be able to help people navigate different struggles and also just feel like they have a friend that's saying, hey, I see you. Because I think when it's mental health, especially, you feel like you're drowning in plain sight and you don't necessarily know what's going on or how to tackle it, because things can appear so fine, right? Things appear great. And, you know, not everyone's going to have a mom like I did that picked up the phone when I needed her. And so I was hoping, as much as I didn't want to write another book, I realized that there is just a need for people to feel seen and heard. And there is a purpose for all the pain that we go through. And so this was a purpose for me to maybe be a resource for someone to say, hey, I see you and it's okay. If you're anxious or depressed, like, it's okay. It shouldn't be something that you should be hiding.
And the fact that you had to deal with such unbelievable challenges, not only physically, but then mentally, this is really two books in one.
It is, yeah. I mean, I think it was crazy because when I came up with the initial concept, you know, back in 2021, 2022 is when I was really in the depths of it. And I remember I was just looking for resources. I think when we struggle, we just try to find answers and we try to find something that'll make us feel less alone. And I couldn't find anything that really spoke to where I was or even to what my friends were going through. And my mom's like, I think the answer is in the question. And she got a reverse psychology me on that. And then I was kind of against it. I was really fighting it. And then in the middle of it all, I had four different relapses of the same condition I got as a kid. So here I'm trying to write this, trying to be motivational. And then this past December was the worst one of them all, where I almost died and I was expected to be in a wheelchair again. And there was a lot that went wrong and just kept going wrong. And I remember I finally got discharged from the hospital. They had gotten my wheelchair out of storage and we were in the final edit had been submitted while I was in the hospital. So I remember I'm standing in the kitchen holding on to the counter and I'm trying to shuffle across like a foot across to just try to see if my legs work. And I say to my mom, like, I'm done with this inspirational thing. I'm throwing out the book. I don't want to do it. Like, this is enough is enough. And my mom looks at me and she goes, so are we Thelma and Louise in this? And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, so are we Thelma and Louise in this? So like, we out? And I was like, I mean, yeah. I was like, we have a problem. Mom's like, yeah, we do have a problem. I was like, there's not a big enough cliff. And my mom goes, and I don't have a Cadillac. And so at that point.
And there was no Brad Pitt, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. Like there was, we worked that out. So my mom's like, all right, what's plan B? And then the next day, you know, I got up and I was like, thank you for meeting me where I was. Cause I needed that. And then she hands me the manuscript and she goes, why don't you read this as a reader, not as a writer? And remember who you were writing this for. And then that kind of became my masterclass in a sense too of, you know, sometimes we're knocked on our backs only to be able to really find a better path and allow it to unfold the way it is. And I mean, mind you, I don't want any more hospital stays. I have promised too many of my friends that this is the year I stay out of the hospital. So far, so good, knock on wood. But it's been a wild journey, to say the least.
I assume I'm looking at you now. You look beautiful. You're healthy and you're strong now. You feel good?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I had a doctor's appointment this morning and it's pretty awesome when your doctor gives you a high five and a hug and says, everything finally looks good and you're finally on the right path, because I can't have a book come out where I'm like, hey guys, everything's great. I'm just falling apart over here. So I think it's definitely been a blessing that as hard as it was back in December, it was kind of that final wake up call I needed to once and for all get healthy and put on a better path.
Well, I love one of the quotes, and this really sums it up. You said, you can face it, you can embrace it, you can defy it, you can conquer it. And then one day, you'll see the view.
The face it, embrace it, defy it, and conquer it, that's kind of been a mantra I've shared with myself for the last 20 years of this whole journey. And when I was writing the book, I at first was just going to tackle that, but then I had this amazing editor and she said to me, she was like, why don't we have each part be broken down into this? And then that was kind of the mantra, but I wanted it to be a focal point for folks that when you put in the work and it's a process and it's essentially like climbing a big summit, you know, you'll see that view and that view is going to be worth it. And so that was really the inspiration behind the focus of it too, because we need things that are digestible. I think when you're already overwhelmed and going through it, you don't need a dissertation that's just complicated. That just makes my brain feel like a bunch of marbles rolling around.
We need a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, we need like that GPS or we need that tour guide. So that's kind of how I tried to iron it out. So it was digestible for anyone to read and pick up whenever they needed it.
Well, I know that animals have played such an important part of your life. And I'm so honored, as I know you are now, to be an ambassador for Horses for Mental Health. And you know firsthand what these horses, the type of therapy they've been for you mentally and physically.
You know, I think the beauty of horses, and my aunt, she's raised horses, that's her space, is the fact that they are just these majestic little angels that come on into our lives. And they're such a force, but at the same time, they're so energetically in tuned. And that was a big thing. You know, my mom, we didn't have a ton in my area, but we were willing to fly to do equine therapy and be able to focus on that gait training and everything too. And through my foundation, we've been able to help people be able to get different types of training modalities, because, you know, there's a power with animals and there's a power, especially with horses, and the symbolism of it all is really special. And to see how it's impacted people I love, and then also the inspiration I've gotten from them is really special. And I think the more conversations we can be having about mental health, the better. And just being able to bring those worlds together is really special and very much an honor.
Well, we can't forget the dog in your life, Bear, who also had such an incredible impact on your well-being and your continued health.
Oh, Bear's my boy. It is funny though, because he came into my life in the most unexpected way. And I think our soul dogs find us in that way, and or any of our pets. And so the crazy thing with Bear is, I mean, he's my little love bug, but we had just lost a dear family friend and we were all just grieving and we were together as a family. And you know, when you're in the midst of grief, you can't really get out of your own way or make a single decision. And we were kind of all just pacing the floor, and my parents live up on a lake. And so my dad's like, all right, we need to get out of the house. We all need to just go on the water. That's what he would want for us, is all of us to go out on the water. So we go. And we didn't know where to go. There was like two different parts of the lake we could have gone to. And I wanted to go in this direction. My mom wanted to go in another direction. So we just went to the other place. We couldn't get into any restaurants. And I'm telling you this because the timing was impeccable. So we couldn't get into any restaurants. We go to our favorite ice cream shop. They're all out of the best flavors. So then I just kind of pull an audible and say, all right, we're just going to go by the docks. There's a small little ice cream shop there. Let's just go there. So as we're walking there and getting in line, I see a wagon full of puppies. And then someone turns around and they're holding Bear, which is my puppy. And I didn't believe in love at first sight. And then I met my dog and I saw Bear and I just looked at him and I was like, and who is this handsome one? And they're like, this is Bear. And so they were like, would you like to hold him? Do not hold the dog, because if you hold the dog,
he's going home with you.
So I hold him and he was tiny and he just like, he crossed his little paws and fell asleep in my arms. Like he looked me in the eye and I looked at him and he just like fell asleep. And I was like, this is my dog. And he completely defrosted whatever hardness was in my heart, because he came into my life at a time where there was so much chaos with all the different health challenges I've had. He's been just so aware of what I need and met me where I was and still does. And I remember I had a panic attack once, and it wasn't apparent to most people that what was going on. He wouldn't take his head off my chest.
Oh.
And when I got home from the hospital, I was on a walker and very unsteady. And he would just slow his approach and came up and just leaned into me as my little buddy. And he just totally was this gentle little rambunctious boy who was like, okay, I'm reading the situation. And he's the best. So I'm very grateful for him.
Oh, Victoria, you are a joy, an inspiration. And what you've been through, I'm sure this book coming out May 5th, The View Is Worth It, will help so many people. And I can't believe you're only 31 years old.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot coming from you. I really appreciate that. And thank you for this time and this conversation. It's been a joy, and I really appreciate you.
It's been wonderful. And Horses for Mental Health is lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you. I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Victoria Arlen. And don't forget, her book comes out on May 5th. This was such an inspirational segment, but wait, there's more, as our cat correspondent Deborah Cribbs is on location at a cat cafe. You don't want to miss this story. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Cat Chat with Deborah Cribbs, founder of the Give Them 10 movement.
Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. I'm Jill Rappaport, and I am so happy to have our cat correspondent Deborah Cribbs on with us this week. And Deborah is at the most exciting location. You are going to love this place. It's called the Perfect Day Cat Cafe in Covington, Kentucky. And it's become increasingly popular, these cat cafes. I've never been in one. This is the first time I'm seeing one, and I'm loving it. But many people may not know how they started or how they work. And that's why, of course, Deborah's here to tell us all about it. Deborah, this is so cool.
So happy to be here today with you guys, Jill. And indeed, it is a beautiful day in Kentucky. And please don't be confused. I normally come to you from Cincinnati. That's it's a
right.
mile away. But here we are in beautiful Covington, Kentucky, where I happen to live, along with my friend Chuck here, who also happens to live here. And we are in the Perfect Day Cafe. Chuck is the proprietor of the Perfect Day Cafe.
We're going to have a lot of those.
I know. We've got a million of them. So I thought it was interesting. I didn't know this, Jill, till I just read it, that cat cafes started in Asia, in particular Taiwan and Japan. Why? So many landlords do not allow pets, in particular cats, into rental units. So what do people do if they can't get their animal fix? They find a way. They always find a way. So that's how cat cafes got started some time ago. And by our count, there are hundreds in the United States right now. And Chuck's going to tell you all about it, but this is a very popular and successful one.
Hello, Jill. Hello, audience. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here,
Chuck. Giving us the opportunity to, and share the word and be a part of the mission.
It is a mission indeed. So how did you guys get started?
So really what this was is I had just, on my journey, had just sold my business And I was looking for, now that we had sold it, looking for a job with purpose, that's what I call it. So we roll the R now, but at the time I was kind of looking for how I could create a job that made an impact. My wife and I were on a business trip in Charleston, South Carolina, and saw a sign for the cafe. And I said, hey, my wife and I would like to come in. And they said, oh, there's a 4.5 hour wait. And I said, wait a minute, a 4.5 hour wait on a Saturday at 2:30. Like, what is this concept? What is going on? And then I talked to the proprietor and all the discussions and everything. And then my mind was going crazy. At the time, my wife was still working and she looked at me and she said, you're obviously passionate about this. You need to do it. Like literally that night, I'm on a napkin going, wait a minute, this is a solid business model as long as we can bring the community to it. If the community comes in, they treat this like an area where they know they can make impact, that if they support, they're going to be able to make an impact on the mission, then we can make this work. And within 8 months, we had the first location started. And now here we are in Northern Kentucky, 2 years later, vastly successful. We draw about 30,000 visitors in here and we do about 1,400 adoptions a year.
And didn't you tell me, Chuck, that these are amongst the most successful cat cafes in the country?
Yes. Thanks to the support of our shelters, our volunteers, our team, our community, our Louisville Cafe is number one adopting cat cafe in the country out of 300. And the Covington one is number two.
Isn't that amazing? And folks, we're talking thousands of cats who have been adopted since Chuck started this enterprise. I mean, that more than rivals the local shelters. So we think of them very much as partners. This is a cog in the wheel of fixing the problem of too many cats on the streets, very much. So isn't that interesting, Jill? And I don't know if you can see behind us, there are cats walking around everywhere.
This is one of those times I really wish that our listeners, we had the visual capacity because it is so adorable. I just want to climb through the screen and go hang out there. I mean, the cushions, the little seating areas, the colors are so beautiful. The cats are roaming freely behind. It's just such a beautiful environment and so inviting.
It really is. And I would say there are 10 or 12 or 15, some may be hiding, cats behind us here. And they'll open within an hour and then people are going to start coming in and grab a snack and grab a drink. And all the while, all of this goes toward the mission.
Well, it's also so encouraging to all the cat lovers out there because they could find their next best friend and soulmate.
Absolutely can.
Chuck Patton and Deborah Cribbs, as always, amazing information. I just wish I could be there with you all having a cup of coffee and nuzzling up to those adorable, cuddly creatures. Thank you both so much for this incredible information.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jill.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening to this edition of Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.